on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
You pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I didn't dress up for the show today. I don't know if you noticed it or not. Been upstairs busy digging in, doing a little bit of research here this morning, trying to get a little bit of direction about where the Lord is and where the Lord would have us to go. And so I got my old Trump shirt that I'm wearing, and it doesn't say Trump. It says, no one can trump Jesus. That's the shirt. Vote the Bible, whatever it says there. So welcome to this morning, man. We got an exciting weekend ahead of us, heading up to Wisconsin with Rob Pugh, Wisconsin Christian News, his ministry expo. And you know, things really do my heart good. I'm getting emails from people who are coming from really a long way away to be a part of it. And as I've said the last few days, the speakers that you got, if you're going to make it to this thing, the speakers that you're going to hear are just going to be unbelievable. This is going to be something. And Jared, I know you're trying to do 1,000 different things there real quick. Maybe we could throw it up there. Somebody asked me, we're waiting for John Robertson, John with the Hagman, producer of the Hagman Report. John's our guest this morning, trying to get him up out of the snow up there in Erie, Pennsylvania, where the Hagman show comes out of. So we'll bear in there for a second. And, Jared's going to throw up on the screen there for us the event at in Wisconsin, Marshfield, Wisconsin. Excuse me. Spoke about it yesterday, but never know when new people might be joining us. And so I want everybody to understand what's going on. It's called Courageous Christianity. It begins Friday night, tomorrow night, Friday night at 6 o'clock. If you live in the Chicago area, just think about that whole big thumb of Michigan and all that stuff up there. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this is, it's free. It's free. And any one of these guys that are going to be speaking there ought to have a day to be a guest speaker at your church. But I can tell you, as I said yesterday, with the exception of Bill Fetter, William J. Fetter, I forget the name, AmericanMinute.com. With the exception of Bill Fetter, most of these guys aren't welcome in churches. Bill Dunphy is welcome in the church because he pastors one. He's the courageous pastor. You can see him there. He's going to speak Saturday morning at 8. Boy, Pastor Bill, you got to get up early for that one. Bill Fetter is going to speak Friday night at 6:15, then the Saturday at 11 a.m. I'm telling you, he's a walking encyclopedia. He's better than David Barton. Unbelievable. David Arthur's in Erie, Pennsylvania right now. He said, got up, getting the snow off of his car, and he's driving. He drove from Clout, Maine. He's heading up there. David Arthur is a former, everybody knows who he is. Former homosexual, former transgender. I don't even know if those are the same things anymore. Flip Benham. Flip's going to speak Saturday morning. Going to meet Flip tonight. Pastor Matt Tuella, doctor and lesser magistrates. Rusty Thomas. Flip Benham used to be head of Operation Save America and resigned a couple years ago. Rusty is now the new director of Operation Save America. They're both going to be there. I'm going to tell you, this is cutting edge stuff. And I heard from Rob, he's really excited about the response that they're getting and the potential turnout that they're going to have. So if you're anywhere close, it's worth it. Get yourself a $67 flea bag hotel. Come and join us. I promise you, you will be glad that you did. Free. Now, they do say this, a free will offering will be taken. I think Rob said that. But I tip my hat and salute Rob and thank him for all the hard work that he's doing. You know, Rob and I are becoming, it's funny how the Lord connects people, you know. Lord's connecting me to people that Michelle was saying that to me the other day. She said, what's that? Hey, John's here. Michelle said to me the other day, my goodness, the people you're connected to. Now, listen, I'm not trying to sound important, okay? But my Lord, the people the Lord has connected me to. That's how you know that the Lord is doing things, right? Steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Now, you think about that word ordered. That's Psalm 37:23, I think it is. Think about that word ordered. And several different things come to your mind. If your steps are ordered, that means, number one, they're sequential. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's to put in order. Steps are ordered. That means like you, they're laid out before you get there. Like you order a pizza and it's waiting for you when you get there. Right? Steps are ordered by the Lord. It's like, it's a commandment. Your steps are commanded. And there's one other facet of the word order that, that slips my mind right now. But the real meaning of words, pretty fascinating. So I thank God that I've been ordered, my steps have been ordered by the Lord, that he's given me the chance to meet Dale Socha and Chad Estes. Let me get my glasses on so I can read. And Don and Gail and George and Jared and Jeff and David and Pastor Bill and Rusty and Flip and Robertson and Harrison and Inman and Bushy and Richardson and Morrison and Weaver and Serge and Sherry and T Moon and the Lord has ordered our steps. And then the scripture goes on to say this, and he delights in our way. And as I said on the show yesterday, what I like best about this, see guys, unity is not something you can work out. I've had a lot of teams that got into a huddle, but there wasn't any unity in the huddle. You could call it a huddle. Huddle up, boys! Huddle up! And people would come and huddle up. But there wasn't any unity at all inside that huddle. See, unity is something that comes only from a common purpose, a common directive. If I'm in a grocery store, if I'm in a restaurant tonight and somebody comes in with a gun and starts firing away, there's going to be a bunch of unity that's going to arise. Some people are going to run, flee, hide under the desk, but there's going to be a unity that's going to come up. Several people are going to stand up and going to be in a unified effort against this force of darkness that's coming on. So the idea that you can work up unity just absolutely is not true. And what I try to do, hang with me, John, I'll pull you in here in a second. What I'm trying to do with my life, the whole focus of my life, I'm not looking for uniformity. I'm not looking for uniformity. In fact, I'm not looking for little tin soldiers. I'm not looking. I always call that plastic. It looks good. Little tin soldiers marching, but that's not unity. Unity is when something happens in your heart that you and I, over a common cause and a common purpose, come together and say, we're going to fight that. You can't fake that. You can't work that up. And where there is unity, God commands the blessing. So the idea that we can come, all of us can come together here, however many of us are here and how many are watching across America. The fact that we can all come together and be unified, folks, that's the smokescreen. That's not going to happen. But something will happen that will unify us. Something's going to happen that will unify us. So our job is, let's huddle up. Let's at least try to get huddled up. Let's at least recruit some players. Let's at least figure out who else is on our team. Because I'm going to tell you, we could rock the world with however many we have, but it's just a very, very small percentage of how many people ought to be with us. And it's like, I like to tell this story, then I'm going to bring John Robertson in. I tried to get a pastor to go to the abortion clinic with me a few years ago. And, he gave me that great response that we hear so much. Well, coach, I hear what you have to say, but coach, I'm going to have to hear from the Lord. I'm going to have to pray about that and I'll get back to you, which is a way of saying I ain't coming, right? And I said, well, brother, let me tell you something. I've already prayed to the Lord and he told me you're supposed to come. That's happening to us all the time. There are others who are supposed to be part of this circle who won't do it. They want to go pray about it. And I think it's sometimes, as the old saying says, well, that'd be vulgar. I'm not going to say it. John Robertson, honored to have John with us in here today. We're going to have kind of a free for all with John. John's in, let me build a little background with John for all of you who don't know. John Robertson is a one of those Hollywood weirdos. He went out there to seek his fame and fortune out in Hollywood, and was probably doing a pretty good job of it, and climbing up the ladder, and got to see the inside of how things really, really work, and then had to give him the short version of it, John. Then he had a radical born-again experience and changed everything and saw Hollywood for the hellhole and pit that it was, and he fled Hollywood, and he was lost in the wilderness for a while trying to figure out where he's supposed to go and what he's supposed to do. And somehow, through a confluence of events, and nobody can explain, same thing I'm talking about, steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. John Robertson ends up connected with Doug and Joe Hagman in Erie, Pennsylvania, as the producer of the Hagman and Hagman Report, which, by the way, has an audience, I believe, probably as large as Fox News. People who listen to that show at night, replay it the next day, the guest, John is the director of tinfoil hat Christian. He is bringing to the table all of these guys who are serious researchers on serious topics. And John is doing the best that he can to try to expose all of us to things we have never been exposed to. And it's been a real shot in the arm for Doug and Joe. And I'm not trying to blow smoke John's way, because he has a testimony in his own right and is going to be at our Hear the Watchman conference. I'm sorry, at the Occupy Till I Come conference in April here in Ohio. He's going to be a speaker. He's going to come as a speaker. John's a multi-talented guy. In fact, he wrote two things last week on the Hagman Report. I called John the other day and said, I'm a wordsmith, John, and I'm telling you, that was some serious writing there, man. I appreciate guys that can communicate. So John's a diamond in the rough in a lot of ways. And hey, John, thanks for getting up early this morning and joining us. I was afraid maybe you slept in on us, buddy. How you doing?
No. I can you hear me okay, Coach?
Yeah, we got you good. You look good, too.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you. No, actually, I've been up. I had to download a new version of Chrome. I don't use Chrome very much on my Mac, so it took a couple extra minutes to download the proper updates to Chrome. But greetings and God's blessings, and I'm actually really pleased to be in the huddle today. And I came in with you talking about unity and disunity. And you mentioned the articles that I was inspired to write last week. And I have one of them here. This is the one that really was read. Well, it was just read. It was read all over the place.
It's great, man. I'm telling you, it's great. It's great.
This article is entitled new Media Body Bags Are Piling Up. Hagman Report Asks Why. And Coach, thank you for the introduction, by the way, but this is where we are today. For several years, we have been able to use turnkey platforms. And when I say turnkey platforms, I mean, and Coach, I'm sure you would agree, in 2015, 2016, everybody with a message figured out in short order that if you have a credit card and a reasonably well-functioning computer, you could essentially start a show. And I think many did so under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and perhaps some did so just under the unction of their own personal
ego.
Desire.
Their own ego.
Under their own ego, absolutely. And those two, by the way, vie against one another all the time, which is why you have to remain in prayer. But shows popped up like mushrooms about 3 years ago. We are now in a time, we're in a culling of the herd. We're being put through a crucible. And not all of the shows that everybody in the huddle has come to enjoy are going to make it out the other end. And that's just a sad reality. Although, Coach, as I've prayed about it and reflected on it, I'm beginning to believe that the Lord certainly does have a plan here. And perhaps some of these shows are not serving the mission that the Lord would have for them. And I know that might sound a little bit harsh, but I'm obviously
sheep and goats, right, John? Sheep and goats,
wheats and tares. I mean, there will be a separation. Scripture tells us that two men will be working in the field. One will remain and the other gone. Two women will be milling grain. One will remain, the other one's gone. So I was talking to Kim Langford yesterday, and we're certainly in a time of birth pangs. I think all remnant believers are in agreement on that. But just to speak quickly about the unity factor, Coach, we know that in the book of Acts and in the time of the book of Romans, during the early church, just the first several years after Jesus departed to the right hand of the Father, was no longer walking on of this earth, at least in physical form. We know that Christians met everywhere they could. They met in basements. They met in caves. They met out in boats in the harbor. They met anywhere they could. They had their own secret coded language and hieroglyphics, if you will, because if they were caught, they could get sewn in a bag with a lion and made the next weekend spectator sport. We are, in a way, in that time now, and it's a very strange dynamic, Coach, because what's happening on the one side is in February of 2018, the Hagman Reports had our best month ever with website traffic, and that all that glory goes to the Lord, and we've had one of our best months ever with our numbers across all the platforms that we broadcast on. On the other hand, my phone rings every day, Doug's phone rings every day, and we get these terrible stories from people who are truly dear friends of ours who have been shut down. They're no longer viable. We have Jim and Angie from Texas, Victoris Libertas, joining us this evening to tell their story. And what we're going to do, of course, at Hagman Report, we're going to use our blessing as best we can to help other shows that have been shut down, kicked off YouTube, kicked off Facebook. They're looking for new homes right now, and once they find their new homes, Coach, we will help at least whatever cross-pollinated, cross-collateralized audiences we share. We can at least get a portion of their audiences back to them, and that's John, we've made.
So what's happening then, just to put it in cornfield terms, Facebook, YouTube, whatever, the owner decided, this is having all these people out there, that's all well and good, but I'm going to do some evictions. Some of these people that are living here on YouTube, they really don't fit in our neighborhood, and we're gonna boot them out. And so this attack on mom and pops, guys like me, who are just out here, as you said, started a YouTube channel. The attack is real, John. And as I tried to get our audience to understand, it is really and truly the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. The seed of the serpent has control of Facebook and YouTube and these platforms, and the seed of the serpent is saying, we ain't going to have any of that God seed on this thing. We're not going to have anything that's going to expose truth. That's the battle that's going on, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it will be. Now, I learned this from Paul McGuire, and as I move forward in this community, I always want to try to be careful to properly source comments, material, et cetera. So this belongs to Paul McGuire. This is not an original from my head. Technos is Greek for witchcraft, and that is the root word of what we call technology. So when you look at YouTube, when you look at Facebook, when you look at Twitter, Coach, consider all of the things that are antithetical to the way Christ told us to model ourselves after him that we do on these social platforms. Many people, myself not included, but many people live for that thumbs up. They live for the number of likes they get on something they post on Facebook. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, they call it followers. I've always been uncomfortable with that term. Coach, I know me. I don't need any followers. I have a hard enough time keeping my own butt on the path. And if anybody's if anybody's behind me, maybe they need to come up and follow a lead for a while.
So, hey, John, and they aren't friends either, are they?
No, they're not friends. They're not friends. They're not followers. Thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever. So the point is, as we move forward in this period of birth pangs, as we move closer, I believe, Coach, with each calendar day that flips by, we are moving closer to Jacob's trouble. We're moving closer to the end of the age of the church. Now, why do I say that? Because Jesus said that. He essentially told his disciples that they were moving closer at that time, and that was over 2,000 years ago. So how does this tie in with social media today? I want to encourage everyone in the huddle today to understand that, first of all, by the glory of God, by the prescience of the Holy Spirit, we started working on this over a year ago, okay? People used to yell at me, Coach. They'd be like, Robertson, how come you haven't returned my email? And I'd look at my watch and be like, well, you just sent it 48 minutes ago, but the reason I didn't return it is because I've been in a meeting for the last 2 hours with Todd over at Global Star, because we're going to face this moment. And that wasn't me. That was the Lord basically just using me as an instrument and Doug as an instrument to realize we better get some backups of some backups going here, or we could get knocked off the air, and we're not going to let that happen. So all that being said, we're in a time now where we cannot place our trust in any of these programs. If you've substituted Caravan to Midnight for church or the Hagman report for church, or you've substituted. Mm. This has been the biggest conundrum, Coach, the whole time I've known you, the whole time I've been around this community, which is what, 5, 6, 7 years now. The biggest conundrum is so many people are unchurched, so they glom on, maybe is a little bit of a strong word. They gravitate toward our platforms as a substitute for church. And in many cases, you can't blame them, because I've seen many sincere people at conferences all over the country say, look, John, I've tried, man. I've been to 15 churches. I don't know what to do. At least on the Hagman Report, I'm going to hear Pastor Langford, Pastor Spalding, Coach Quayle. You know, at least I'll hear something. And and so I want people to really understand that in the first century, Christians met in caves and on boats. And out of the way of the eyes of the Roman legionaries. We are in that time again. Coach, I'm not saying anything new this morning, but brother, the church is going underground. Let me pause. Thank you for – I want to bring some other people in. I don't want to monopolize the entire conversation this morning.
No, you go, man. It's good. Good. It's good. We are being forced underground, aren't we, John? That is going on for sure. And the forces that are arrayed against us, I can't get people to understand this enough. Folks, this is the spiritual war. When the scripture says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, just stop for a minute and ask yourself this. What the heck does that mean? Well, it's not just me and my finances. It's something larger. It's this cosmic global battle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And for too long, we've been taught in our churches, it's just your battle against the devil. And so therefore we've minimized what the real battle is. John, if we're talking about a one world government, if we're talking about a new world order, wake up and understand how vast those dark powers must be. And I really believe that as Christians, we have not made that connection yet. It's so much bigger and darker than we understand.
We haven't, and that's why we're going to continue working. Coach, I know you are the same. I think you and I are cut from the same cloth in this way. My work day's over when the work is finished. I was post. Oh, by the way, let me mention quickly, just so I don't forget. Coach has a new piece up at HagmanReport.com. Coach, why don't you give? I know you're a humble guy, but give people a little, half minute or whatever. Tell us a little bit about the piece on what type of inheritance are we? I mean, we're talking about the here and now, and that's all well and good because that affects all of our back ends. But what about the next generation? Should in fact there be a next generation that lives a natural life? You wrote a great piece. I curated it and posted it before I went to bed.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Coach, what say you?
Well, are you spending the inheritance? People listen to the show know that I talk about that a lot. That a good man, the scripture says, leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And sadly, in church circles, we thought that meant money. And, I saw a guy in an SUV driving down the road, and on the back of it, he had this bumper sticker, I'm spending my children's inheritance. And it just set me off. Hey, folks, your children are your inheritance. Your grandkids are your inheritance. It isn't money. It's heritage, man. It's culture. It's eternal life. That is your inheritance. And a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. See, grandchildren, generational, a multi-generational. And for too long, you see these baby boomers driving these vans going down in Florida for 4 months. John, I live 100 yards from my grandkids. I'm doing everything I can to build into the life of my grandkids, and I'm not going to send them to public school and let their soul be stolen from them. Everybody's worried about how they're being shot and killed in schools. I'm worried about those walking zombies that we don't even know are getting in already. That's the point I'm trying to make. Rescue your grandkids.
And we're paying for it, Coach. Now, I never thought I'd get to I turned 46 years old the other day, and I never thought that I would get to the point where I would be this age and not be experiencing parenthood. Now, there's an upside to that. Had I married the couple of likely candidates, I'd probably just be a 46-year-old divorced guy. So the Lord is looking.
God's merciful.
Yeah, God is good. However, I would ask everyone in the huddle here this morning, not by way of admonishment, but just by way of suggestion, are you praying for your nephews, your nieces, your grandchildren, or your neighbor's grandchildren? You see, I believe, Coach, that that when I was growing up, okay, because my life was very dichotomous. I could be in church one moment and then be experiencing just the horrific emotional fallout of a really messy divorce the next. And this could often be like in the same day growing up. Mm-hmm. My brother went through it too. It made us tough. It made us capable, very versatile human beings, but it also left a lot of wounds, a lot of scars. That being said, I know for a fact, when I eulogized my Grandma Robertson's funeral back in 2013, I stood before a packed house of a little chapel in Fresno, California, and I couldn't say it without just completely breaking up. I mean, I praise God I was able to hold it together enough to enunciate the words. However, I told everybody in that chapel that the reason that I said, you want to talk about Vestava Robertson's faith? The fact that I'm standing here speaking to all of you is a testament to her faith, because there were nights where I was out God knows where doing God knows what, made it home, keys are in the ignition, have no memory whatsoever of why the car's on the front lawn, and she was on her knees in her living room praying for my soul. So I would encourage everyone in the huddle today, you know, it may seem like almost, I don't mean to sound, you know, people will understand. It may seem a little bit like a little bit of an inaction, but pray for the little kids around you. I have a nephew and niece, and they're being raised by social justice warrior types in Portland. Okay. But I love these two little kids, and I pray for them all the time, just that the Holy Spirit will protect their little souls, because the Holy Spirit can protect a child's soul in the commie school, in first grade. Kids have minds. They have the same, they have within them the same power that raised Christ from the dead on the third day as little children. We know this, correct, Coach? So
right.
If they have that same power, that means that they have, sorry, I'm dealing with a low battery here. I'm gonna have to drop my earbuds in a minute. But that means that they can have Holy Spirit discernment. And when their teacher starts to babble on about this, that, or the other thing, a little something in their little minds could say, you know, I don't really buy that. And that's unfortunately where we're at today. Now, right. I've gone off on a major tangent. Coach, I'm going to hand it back
but
to
they
you.
But they are arrows, John. They are arrows. They are arrows for sure. And so we're sending our little arrows to Caesar to be trained. Then we're shocked when they end up being little Romans.
Yeah, hey, when we have to turn around and dig one of them out of our backside. Coach, I'm walking away for 30 seconds to get a battery so I don't lose you, okay? I'll be right back.
Okay, man. Cool. Again, folks, this is John Robertson with the Hagman Report. We'll come back. I'm gonna when John comes back, we're gonna open it up. I got a couple questions I want to ask him. I know you guys have questions too, and John can certainly talk about Hollywood and the impact that that has. But I want to dive in a little bit more to what John sees. How do I say this? John, the Hagman Report has such a wide variety of guests. I said John was godfather of Tinfoil Hat Central. I meant it because of the guests that they have. And there's so much confusion, so much stuff's going around that we don't know what's true, what's right, what's wrong, who to believe. There's great confusion. And we have to remember this. The scripture says that Satan is the author of confusion. Can you hear me now, John?
Oh, yes. Amen.
Okay, so John.
Audio's okay. I had to plug.
Yeah, it's good. So help me out. Help us out with this, John. Those of us who watch the Hagman Report, I watch it every night. I'm not blowing smoke at you. I throw my TV out. I don't even need my TV anymore. Because I'm listening to the variety of guests. And hey, John, I tell you, sometimes you have people on there that open up my mind, and sometimes you have people on there I think, are you kidding me? How do you, John, as the guy who brings all these people together, what is your focus? What is your, from your perspective, how do you bring this all together when it's so many diverse voices saying so many different things? How do you determine?
Oh,
that's a big platform. How do you determine who you give that microphone to?
Okay, I am so glad you asked that question. And remind me, Coach, next time we speak offline before I join the huddle, I'll actually bring the notebooks. But I'll tell you what I do. I carry a bunch of these, okay? These little, you know, you buy them little three packs, these little notebooks, and a pen in my back pocket. Basically, before I go anywhere, it's wallet in one back pocket, cell phone and a memo pad in the other. I've been doing this for years. And from 2009 to about 2013, I was in my, I mean, I'm still on a vertical learning curve. We all are, but.
We all are. Yes, sir.
When I was, it was those years where I was fumbling around looking for the bottle of red pills. And then I found the bottle of red pills. And then I read books about Israel and it all came together. That was in 09 to 2013. So I already had a backlog, if you will, of maybe 200 people that I was aware of, be they ministers, contrarian economists, gun rights people, abortion rights people, experts on Israel, experts on prophecy. I had a pretty significant, I had a deep bench, Coach. But what I do now is I'm always at a low level of work. So it may, to someone who doesn't know what I'm up to, it may look like I'm laying on the sofa with my cell phone 8 inches in front of my face. But what they don't understand is in 20 minutes, I have my phone rigged where I can read an article, determine who the editor-in-chief of that blog is, find their email address, contact the editor-in-chief, specify the article, specify the writer, say, put a sentence or two about what I enjoyed about the article, what I felt was topically relevant, and invite the author on the show. I can do all of that in just clicks of my thumb on my cell phone, and I do it all day long. So that's how we keep all these different perspectives moving. But here's where the Holy Spirit comes to town. I'm just one guy. And I think that people who know me really well, Coach, like my parents, they just get such a kick out of this idea that their oldest son is running this organization, because they know me, okay? They know me. They know who I really am, and they know how many times they've had to pick me up and dust me off and back in the day pay my rent and whatever. They know me. So John,
how do you determine what's too far out there and what's not?
I don't. The Lord does it for me. Here's the trick. I give the show back to the Lord every day, and if there's a day that goes by, that's right, JR, discernment. If there's a day that goes by where I don't give the show back to the Lord, it's not by obstinance or being obtuse. It's just because I forgot. Cheap excuse, but that's the truth. Every day, at some point during the day, I say, Lord, you clearly gave me this platform. You moved me from the golden handcuffs of Hollywood, California, all the way across the country to Erie, Pennsylvania. And it could have just stopped there, but it hasn't been like that. The Hagmans have adopted me into their family. I eat off their table all the time. They don't treat me like an employee. They treat me like one of theirs. And that's made being so far from home really much easier. So you can see the Lord's fingerprints all over this story. It's everywhere. It's so far past me, it's not even funny. So I know that this doesn't belong to me, that I am I'm a driver of this. I'm a servant of this is what it comes down to. And sometimes I'll find someone that seems perfect, and I won't name names, but I think most people in the huddle would recognize some of these people, big political types, you know, big whatever. And the Lord just won't allow it to happen. Somehow emails don't go returned, or a producer steps in that gets really snarky, or somebody else higher up says, oh, the Hagman Report, we're not doing the Hagman Report. And it may seem like a little bit of a sting at the moment, but when you see it in hindsight, you realize, aha, God has spared this platform. I try not to think about it about, oh, God spared me. It's like God spared this platform. Because I'm going to tell you something, Coach, and I want everybody in the huddle to understand this. And I cannot say this from a humble enough heart. If you feel like maybe you'd like to speak at conferences, or you've got a book in you, or you want to write articles, or all of the above, there's one thing you've got to remember, because, Coach, I did not give this fair consideration. The responsibility that comes with it is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
It starts on my desk, on my little desk right here in my apartment. I look at a blank week and I start plugging in people and ideas. It mostly comes from the news cycle. Sometimes it comes from what's happening politically, culturally, within the church, et cetera. Those are the people that at the end of the month, 2, 3, 4 million downloads will hear. That's a big responsibility.
Folks, do you hear that?
That comes out of
4 million downloads. It is amazing. Hey, John, I got some guys I know want to ask you some questions. They're interested in Hollywood and all that stuff. But
real quick, it's great to see. I see JR's in here. I know Jared's hanging. I know, I've seen Chad Estes pop in and out. It's good to see you, brothers, man.
Yeah, it's good, man. Hey, So, John, who's your audience? You say 4 million downloads. If you guys were to do demographics, who's the Hagman audience, you think?
Oh, wow. That's an excellent question. Okay. The Hagman audience, they have a couple of things in common. But I would say the number one thing they have in common, because we have a lot of people who aren't Christians yet. See, the Hagman Report has always been like that frontline claw that reaches across
the chasm
of belief and
knowledge. That's right. It's awesome. That's right.
In fact, if I didn't have a pretty clear concept of that, I doubt very seriously the Lord would have placed me in this position. So who's the audience? The audience, Coach, are the type of people that you meet everywhere. They don't look the same. They're not the same age. They're not the same socioeconomic strata. But the one thing they have in common is they go, I don't think I buy this. I don't think I buy this. There's got to be more here going on.
Good.
I don't buy it. That's our audience. And one of the things that we've done with our dear brother, Stephen Minking, we had Bill Chapman.
It's his birthday today, by the way. Happy birthday, Steve Minking, today.
Happy birthday, Minking. But what we've done in the last 2 years during my tenure as producer is we've dropped the age demographic from 55 up to that beautiful 28.
Oh, that's awesome.
Point.
So you're reaching those guys, huh? You're reaching those guys.
Oh, yeah. I can jump in my Rolodex right now. I could whip out without hesitation 50 guests we've had on in the past 18 months who aren't even out of college. So we're reaching the millennials, or at least we're trying to. But to be honest with you, Coach, if you know the story, I can't go into it today for expediency's sake, but if you know the story of the Hagman Report, and if people want to fish back on HagmanReport.com, I wrote 3 articles last week. The first one's about Jerome Corsi. The second one says new media body bags are piling up. Hagman Report asks why. And the third is a piece about Jake Morfonius and Victoris Lindros in their own words. And Jared, if you tap load more, there you go. The point I try to make within all of that is this show was built off of a cardboard card table and a couple of folding chairs and the cheapest account on Blog Talk Radio. Why has the Lord continued to anoint it? Look, I know these guys. I know, Coach, that we do our best, but we're not necessarily the most like saintly people on the planet. I mean, we
can
be a little gritty.
Amen. It's good.
But the one mission that we stand to serve, I'll make this my final comment. We can do some Q&A if you want or whatever. The one mission we stand to serve, as long as I'm the producer, we will never, ever default from this. We are that claw that grabs men and women and says, okay, you figured out the Federal Reserve is funny money. Oh, good for you. You figured out they're poisoning your water. You figured out that the communist schools are poisoning your kids' minds. You figured out that GMO foods are going to give you cancer 30 years before your time on this earth is supposed to be over. You figured these things out. I'm so proud of you. Right on. Rock on. But now you need to get with the Jesus program, because all the storable food, all the big bad black battle rifles, I love that kind of stuff. But none of that is going to mean anything if you take a round in the fight that's coming and your soul is not saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not under the blood, you have failed in prep number one.
John, that is a great, great description. That claw, that is a picture, because people are coming because they know something's wrong, and you're one of the places where somebody's trying to show you what's going on, and then the gospel comes. Hey, I'm going to open up the queue. Anybody wants to jump in here and ask? We were going to do more Hollywood and that kind of stuff.
Real quick, T Moon, David Davis, Gail, thank you so much. Amen, brothers and sisters. I can see the comments coming up my screen.
Amen. Amen. Good. John, you're a pro, man. That's not whiskey, is it? I hope you're not doing that. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah. Hey, John, I want to save you a little bit of time if I can. I don't have a question. But, one thing that we've learned here on the queue is that Jesus didn't give his disciples a junky way to pray. And I want to save you some time in your prayer life. Pray the way he prayed. He says, Our Father is how you started off. That includes your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your nieces, and things like that that you mentioned that you pray for. Well, you don't have to list them, because when you pray the way Jesus taught us to, you're praying for them. In their stead, you are praying to God the Father for them, not about them so much, that too maybe, but you're praying for them. So unclutter your prayer list.
It's our
Look
Father.
At that prayer he taught you to pray, and save yourself some time.
Amen. Amen.
I'm sorry I didn't get your name, but I never
Larry.
Stopped. Larry, I never stopped and thought about that. It's not my Father who art in heaven. It's our Father.
Thy will be done. His will be done. His will. Amen. Somebody else jump in. Somebody else?
I got a quick question on programming, if I can.
This is Roger. Roger's an attorney, but we love him anyway, John.
Hey, Roger. Good morning.
Morning. I'm a relatively new listener to Hagman. Probably been listening for about 9 months, two or three nights a week, and I enjoy the program. Wow. For a long time. Here's my question. I believe there are still some good people in what you might call the establishment. I'll throw a name out like Jim Jordan. I've met Jim Jordan as a
congressman. Yes.
I think he's a pretty solid guy.
I read his book. Absolutely. I like Jim Jordan too, but go ahead.
Call a Jim Jordan, or let's say someone that we believe is with us or is close to us in some of our thinking. Do they turn you down? Do they say maybe? Because one I would enjoy on the Hagman Report from a programming standpoint is I don't believe the entire establishment is bad. I believe there are some good men and women who would benefit from the exposure to the Hagman Report. How do they respond when you call a Jim Jordan or Senator Lee? I mean, how do they respond, and why don't we have a few more of those people? And maybe that's not what you guys want to do, but
good question. That's a good question, Roger.
It's an excellent question, Roger. That is a phenomenal question, and I'm going to be very transparent about it, and I hope that Doug appreciates the spirit and purpose of why I'm going to be so transparent. We have been mitigating a format shift. During the 2 years that I've been with the program, but it really started about a year prior to that. And in the early years of the show, Roger, we were a show that offered intelligent speculation about that which we believed was to come. Now, this is in the deep Obama years. They're printing money around the clock, QE2, QE3, QE4, silvers at 50 an ounce. It looked pretty grim. And so back then, excuse me, we brought on a lot of writers, a lot of ministers, a lot of prophecy experts, etc., who could speculate, particularly through the scriptures, about what we can anticipate. However, it's not 2013 anymore. It's March 2018. Many of those things have come to fruition, and we no longer need that pronounced speculation. Hold on, bear with me. So what's happened in some cases when we talk about good establishment people, and Jim Jordan's an excellent example. I read not the recent book, but the one before, and I thought it was one of the best political tomes I've read ever. I love the book. What happens on some occasions is their communications director, who's their gatekeeper, will hear a show that may revolve, for example, around the Nephilim, or it may revolve around some stuff that really comes from the Book of Enoch, that type thing. And a communications director is going to protect his guy. And he's not going to put someone who's on Fox News on Wednesday night on the Hagman Report Thursday night if they feel that there's not a compatibility there. However, we are mitigating that, Roger, as follows. We are going to begin releasing feature pieces, standalone pieces that are outside the three-hour Monday through Friday show. And those pieces will be more about, for example, the Nephilim, the Watchers, the Fallen Ones. This is where you're going to find the L.A. Marzullis, a lot of Steve Quayle's work, et cetera, et cetera. And that way, we will attract more established.
So you're building a network, John. You're building a network then. People were to sit down and think they turn on the radio, they're going to hear different – all that stuff is going to be there, yes. But you can hear specifically what you want to listen to.
Well, Coach, we already are in the sense that you can hear the Doug Hagman radio show Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio and Global Star Channel 3. When I wrap up with you folks, I'm going to eat some breakfast, and then I've got to do my show prep for the Hagman Daily Show. Joe Hagman and I co-host a show, Blog Talk Radio, Global Star Radio, Channel 3, 2 to 3 p.m. And then, of course, every evening we do the flagship show. So we're already doing 5 hours of content a night, but we're expanding yet again. We're going to be bringing in a Sunday presentation. I talked to Pastor Langford about it yesterday. Mm. We're going to have a Sunday church-type environment for people who cannot get to church for whatever reason. Good. There's going to be a Sunday worship, preaching, teaching type format, and then we'll begin to use these exclusives, Roger, to sort of separate some of the stuff that might not make sense, that might not be comprehensible to the communications director for someone like a Jim Jordan. My final
let me jump on here real quick, John. I'm sorry. So how does your audience, John, how does your audience respond? Let's, cause you just a perfect example. You got a guy, you got Tracy Beans on talking about what's going on behind the scenes. You've got, and then you go, boom, you flip and L.A. Marzulli's on. How does your audience handle, you know, not everybody's tinfoil hat, right, John? Not everybody believes in the Nephilim. Not everybody, they think Marzulli's crazy. How do you hold it together that people just say, I've had enough. Those guys aren't crazy. How do you keep it together?
Let's just put it this way. We are fiercely loyal at the Hagman Report, and there are men and some women who literally built the program from that aforementioned folding card table up to what it is today. And they will always have a home with us. However, to remain viable, we're not church. We are a media platform with an evangelical component. Remember, the claw doesn't work if we're preaching to the choir.
Amen.
Let me just put it this way. We've reformatted significantly. We run more guests per night, but we keep them to half an hour.
Yeah.
We live in an era where people don't want to hear somebody regardless of how intelligent they are. My goodness, Coach, I used to go on there as a guest and talk for 3 hours straight. Can you imagine?
Right. I remember.
Those days are over. Now, about the split. The L.A. Marzullis, the Steve Quayles, the Anthony Patches, the there's many others. I just can't think of them right now. They are always going to have a place on the platform. These are going to be exclusives. We put a lot of promotion into them, a lot of production value. They will always be there because a lot of people really love that stuff. And remember,
John, they're real Christians, real deep Christians, deep faith. We can't just write that off as crazy. We can't.
But to answer your question, when I look at a calendar, real quick, this evening, we've got an hour of news. Then we've got Jim and Angie from Victoris Libertas. I'm bringing 48th California District 48 congressional candidate Shastina Sandman, then federal firearms instructor Keith Hansen, and then 9:30 to 10, Sean, the host of SGTReport.com.
Oh, man.
So that's the show for tonight. It's a big show. Tomorrow night's a big show, too.
It's a variety show.
It is. In a way, it's almost like an early 1960s variety show.
Yeah.
but we have to maintain a couple of we have to maintain a framework that we do not compromise. And I'll tell the people in the huddle how we do it. When I send out an invitation, I say the Hagman Report is one of the largest internet video streaming and radio platforms that analyzes political, world, and cultural events from a Judeo-Christian constitutionalist point of view. So when I run guests through the criteria, it's always where are they at in their faith and where are they at with the Constitution. And when it gets really tricky, Coach, and everybody in the huddle, I'll run people who I know perfectly well. We ran Dr. Lori Handerhan, who's an expert on global child trafficking a couple months ago. Didn't do the biggest numbers, but it really reached a lot of people that it needed to reach. I knew before I brought her on that she's like a full-blown progressive liberal and an atheist. But she just got back from South Sudan on a fact-finding mission, and she and her team are breaking up global pedo trafficking ring.
Amen. That's good.
So that's sort of how we do it.
Let's me and you shut up a minute. Let's let these guys jump in here. Somebody else jump in.
Hey, John. This is Vinny. I got a good question for you. You have any more hidden Hollywood stories like the one about the holly, you know, the origin of the holly itself that I heard you do on Dave Bob's show.
Where the word Hollywood came from, holly?
Oh, yeah. I've got a whole bunch of them. And here's what we'll do, Vinny, is first of all, I am pleased to announce a brand new website. We are working on it right now. The website is called redpillhollywood.com.
Oh, man.
Redpillhollywood.com. And wow. RedPillHollywood.com, Vinny, I've got two writers already on board, one of whom is Bill Chapman, who just left the industry. RedPillHollywood.com is going to do three things. It's going to analyze the content coming from the media writ large, not just Hollywood. Thank you, Jared. Not just Hollywood, but CNN, the fake news side of things. What are they saying at The View? So there'll be that aspect of it. We will also analyze Netflix series and feature films, not just for the Christian content or the anti-Christian content, but from a red-pilled perspective. What is the controlled conditioning in this medium all about? And it won't just be myself. I am actively recruiting Hollywood expats. Now, those of us who start this are all going to be ex-Hollywood people. I may open it up at a later date to others, but for right now, it's going to be people who have left some blood on the stage in Hollywood.
Okay, so John, the pedophilia is real, the Satanism is real, the child trafficking, that's all real in Hollywood.
Coach, Hollywood was built to fashion those three things.
Complete film.
Wow.
It was built. Understand this. When you look at, and it's heartbreaking, it bothers me anyway, because I always had a love affair with film. There's something I loved about being in the dark theater and the flickering lights come up, but when you look at old pictures of Greta Garbo or Marlena Dietrich or any of the old swashbucklers, the early silent film heroes, understand that these people were engaged in homosexual orgies. They were shooting liquid cocaine. They were smoking opium down in Chinatown. These people were a mess 100 years ago, and they're a mess today. And quickly, on the hashtag MeToo movement, it should be hashtag hypocrites. That's
right.
What it should be.
There you go, brother.
Amen. Somebody else jump in. We got about 8 minutes left here, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
Okay. Hey, John. This is George Lewis from Tulsa. Hey, we have I don't know if you're aware of this, but Coach knows this guy. He's running for governor in our state named Dan Fisher, and he is a patriot. He is one of us.
Oh, that'd be a good guess, John. That'd be a great guess.
If elected governor, he wants to abolish abortion, and I've gotten to know him personally. Coach knows him personally. He'd be a wonderful guest.
Coach, can I get
Dan Fisher? Dan Fisher.
Can I get you a number, whatever you need? Just let me know, Coach.
And of course, John, he's running into the same thing everybody else is running into. The church won't. You know, he's very open. He wants to end abortion. Of course, the church won't get behind him, right? They're ambivalent with abortion. That's what I say, John. They think it's wrong, but they're ambivalent about it. And Dan Fisher's not. I'll send you the link on that too, John. He'd be a great guest. He's a very articulate, very powerful guy, and a legitimate candidate. He's legitimately running.
Well, what we have run three congressional candidates thus far. Coming up in the near term, tomorrow night, running in Nevada, Michelle Mortensen. I've got Edwin Duarte from California coming up.
Get Dan Fisher. John, if you just go to his website, the picture on his website will say, oh, we got to have this guy on.
Oh, Jared, go ahead. Jared's got a great one up right now.
Go ahead. Jared, you had a question?
An encouragement on the Hollywood video. I've been looking for something where you could get some assessments on the Hollywood situation from alt-right or red pill perspective. Like, we need you're going the right direction, because we need these platforms to really be able to determine what is the truth, right? All right, and then, all right, where do I go for my groceries? Where do I go for my information? Where do I go for my entertainment in the right way? And that it's filling that need. So
that's exactly right, because, brother, here's the deal. I found myself saying this at Paul Bagley's Awaken to the Shaken Conference in Chicago last summer. You can stand in the foyer at these conferences and you can tell people, just turn off the TV and go to your closet and pray. But it's not realistic. Mm. Nobody does that. They turn off their TV and then they don't know what to do. So what redpillhollywood.com in part will do is it will break down and it will explain the controlled conditioning. It will explain the Luciferian intertwined content vis-a-vis the plot devices and subplots and what drives the characters. And that way it gives the consumer greater knowledge. So they'll be able to make a decision that they can really be passionate about, because they can stop and go, no, I can see this for what this is. This is force feeding me the idea that being under surveillance 24/7 is okay. And I got to tell you, folks, I worked on a ton of those shows before I left Hollywood, a bunch of the CSI franchises and all kinds of I worked on The Agency and State of Affairs. I worked on all of these super spy whatever things. I'm so glad to be away from it. It's all conditioning you to the age of beast tech, which we are entering into Amen. Right now.
Hey, John.
Facebook is actually going to asking questions about whether pedophilia should be legalized.
I heard that.
Who puts a clip?
Okay, quickly. What?
John.
Let him finish, Larry. Go ahead, John.
What Coach just said, go back, not yesterday's, but the day before, TrueNews.com, TRUNEWS, TrueNews.com, and you'll want to listen to that episode. That's what Coach is referring to. Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I have to be honest with you, I've never made the time to listen to Hagman & Hagman, but I'm going to do so starting tonight. But I do want to say this, along with the hook that you have, I'm a fisherman, and you put bait on a hook, and the fish come around, they sniff around the bait, and sometimes they bite it, and you can go ahead and reel them in. Other times they're just sniffing, and you got to kind of jerk every now and then to snag them. But once they're snagged or once they've bitten on the hook and you've got them paying attention, just like you this morning, had never considered that the way Jesus taught us to pray was in unity, not individually. There's not a single first person pronoun in that whole prayer he taught us. There's a whole lot of little simple things like that that are in the Word of God that churches have ignored. In fact, churches have gone 180 degrees against or opposite what the Word of God actually says in so many areas. I highly suggest that you try to find a way to incorporate illumination of some of those things in your
Yeah, that's what we do, John. That's what we do a lot here, man. And Jared says it best. We're about tearing down old ways of thinking and opening up minds to new things that are going on, whether it's true or whether it's not. The whole idea, you're going to research it for yourself, and at least we'll light a fire in your brain to get you to start looking differently, get your head up out of that box. That's what we try to do, specifically in the range of Christianity, because as a Christian, you understand we should be embedded in every area around us, not exclusively locked inside of a box just on Sunday, but to take our faith to Hollywood, to take our faith to government, take our faith into the education system. Those little arrows that we talked about at the beginning of the show, training the children, those are our arrows that we're supposed to shoot in and to have influence on those areas. John, got about 2 minutes, man. Anything you want to say, tell us about your daily show or anything else that you'd like to get out to the folks here today.
Well, there's just, thank you, Coach. There's just one thing, and then I'll give it back to you to take us out. We are actively looking for writers at HagmanReport.com. We have reformatted HagmanReport.com. At the top, when you go to HagmanReport.com, you will see exclusive reports. And you will note that these are not curated news items from Daily Caller, Gateway Pundit, et cetera. These are articles that were written specifically by the author, knowing that they would be posted at HagmanReport.com. And therefore, I serve as one of the editors of HagmanReport.com. My email is very simple. It's robberson@gmail.com. robersonjohn@gmail.com. You can also reach me through the Hagman Studio email. We're looking for writers. This is sort of an open casting call, if you will. Send us your work, and if it's on point and it's written in proper English, there's a very good chance that you'll see your work posted at HagmanReport.com, and that would be a great blessing all the way around. People need the catharsis. You can't keep this all up here all the time; you'll explode. So,
amen.
Write it.
Outlets, man.
Get it out to us.
Inflow and outflow, John. I tell them all the time. The Dead Sea's dead because stuff flows in and it never flows out. And we're dealing with
that's a great
Dead Sea Christianity, brother. We're dealing with Dead Sea Christianity. John, our time's up. Appreciate you so much, brother. Appreciate the work that you do. I can't imagine how you juggle it, keep it flowing so that nobody gets too offended when they listen to it. And we'll have you back soon. We want to dive in a little bit more into that Hollywood stuff and what's really going on out there.
People are asking if I can stick around. Do you do like an offline thing for a few minutes or
something? Yes, we do. Yeah,
I'll stick around. I've got time.
All right, folks. We're heading to Wisconsin tonight. Big event up there, Courageous Christianity. We'll see those of you who are close in that area. Get over there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Marshfield, Wisconsin. Otherwise, see you back here. Same bat time, same bat channel tomorrow. God bless y'all.